Welcome to another episode of Shapers and Shakers, kung saan inaalala natin ang mga individual na may malaking ambag sa kasaysayan ng EDSA People Power. Ako si Beck Alpor.
Ako si Bro.
Ako si Aaron.
At ako si Lee. And you are listening to Podcast, Conversations on Philippine History, Politics, and Society.
Bakit yung music natin parang callback, pabalik tayo sa 2022? Anong meron?
Nakita ko lang yun sa YouTube. Piano cover ng Rosas ni J.M. Aicardo. Ang galing, no? Kasi 2 years ago na, pero parang hindi pa rin tayo umusad. Sana kaya yung 20 pesos na bigas o yung pinaka natatanging platform ng kabila na Unity.
Oy, pero syempre, ang episode na to ay hindi para matahin ang mga nagkamali noong 2022 elections. Instead, our goal is to highlight how forms of art, which for this episode, music and film, transcend into politics and shape the people's sentiments, leading to and after the EDSA People Power. Pero I like this background music, ah. I remember nga na 2 years ago, this song, Rosas by Nika Del Rosario and Gab Pangilinan, served as a rallying cry for Filipinos who wanted to reform a political system filled with injustice and nepotism.
And if our listeners are wondering, meron ba nito dati? Yung parang song that could define a certain movement. No? Meron din nung People Power Revolution, yung kantang Handog ng Pilipino sa Mundo, written by Jim Paredes in 1986, na sineselebrate yung totoong kahulugan ng People Power Revolution with words like peaceful change, truth, freedom, justice, at iba pa. Na ang intent talaga ay, you know, at that time, ay tapusin, wakasan yung brutal dictatorship ni Ferdinand Marcos. Fast forward today, may 2023 modern arrangement ang song na yan, with veteran and millennial artists showing how the spirit of EDSA continues.
Totoo, no? Kaya nga sabi nila, di ba, all art is political. Artists remain influential in today's generation as they continue expressing their art, political views, and promote social change, no? So sa part naman ng audience, forms of art both inspire them and challenge their preconceived and long-held beliefs na mahalaga para sa tunay at totoong pagbabago.
Agree. Kaya dito sa podcast, we understand how important art is in society. In previous episodes, we covered the lives of influential figures in politics, economy, and religion. This time around, we highlight the life and contributions of the creme de la creme of Philippine cinema and theater, Direk Lino Broca. Simulan natin yan sa ating pagbabalik.
A major feature of Ferdinand Marcos's martial rule is how they censor the media, limiting the public access to vital information as normally shared in newspaper, radio, and television. For instance, in the week of martial law, in the week of its declaration, September 28, 1972, Marcos issued Letter of Instruction Number 1. Authorizing military to take over major media outlets such as the ABS-CBN, Channel 5, and various radio stations across the country, citing their involvement with the communist movement.
Thought control ang tawag nila dyan, no? And we know na napakahalaga ng media, no? Ang laki ng papel na ginagampanan nito para i-shape yung public sentiments. And by reducing media outlets to only a few state-controlled institutions, napakalaki at napakalinaw nung gustong gawin ng pamahalaan, no? Yurakan at tapakan yung karapatan at kalayaan ng mga tao na i-criticize yung mga maling ginagawa ng pamahalaan. Kaya naman, at the time, people had to be creative in airing out their grievances against the government. If naalala ng ating mga listeners, one of our episodes talked about Pete Lacaba at meron siyang napakagandang tula yung Prometheus Unbound na isang acrostic poem. So magandang balikan yan ng ating listeners.
At kung creativity lang din naman ang pag-uusapan, ano, we can always talk about the film industry's resurgence during the martial law years. No? So ito rin kasi yung panahon kung saan maraming socially relevant films ang na-produce gawa ng mga bigating pangalan sa pinulakang tabing, kumbaga. No? So ilan sa mga yan ay ang Perfumed Nightmare noong 1977 ni Kidlat Tahimik. We have Manila by Night noong 1980 at Himala noong 1982 ni Ishmael Bernal. At Kisap Mata noong 1981 and Batch 81 noong 1982 ni Mike De Leon. No? So, kaiba sa mga international films noong panahon na yon, na usually driven by profit and commercial goals, these masterpieces incorporated social commentary with mainstream elements, no, na pumatok, no, kahit sa publiko. No? So, madalas pa nga itong tawaging the second golden age of Philippine cinema.
Pero sa likod ng tagumpay ng mga pelikula na yan, ay yung kaliwat ka ng pandarakip sa mga artista ng bayan. Ayon nga kay Ricky Lee na naging isa sa mga political prisoners noong panahon ng diktatorya, higit na lumakas ang kanilang kagustuhang magsalita at magkwento dahil sa lakas ng opresyon. At doon daw talaga lumalabas yung totoo at magandang kwento.
Speaking of great films, ano, siguradong kilala ng lahat si Direk Lino Broca, which to many is the greatest film and stage director the country has ever produced. Unang nakilala si Direk Lino in 1970s through the film Wanted Perfect Mother, which he wrote and directed. The film won the Best Screenplay Award at the Manila Film Festival. Matapos niyan, sunod-sunod na yung parangal na iginawad kay Direk Lino, praising him for his realistic portrayal of social issues, especially in times of oppression.
So, sino nga ba si Lino Broca? So, ang kanyang buong pangalan ay Catalino Lino Ortiz Broca. At ipinanganak siya noong April 7, 1939 sa Pilar, Sorsogon. Last week, last Sunday, yung kanyang birthday, no, 85th birth anniversary. At maaga siyang namulat sa hirap ng buhay. Matapos mapas lang ang kanyang ama, namasukan siya bilang boy sa kanyang tiyahin sa San Jose, Nueva Ecija. Pero kapalit naman nun ay bulto-bultong insulto raw at pang-aabuso ang inabot niya. Kaya napilitan siyang lumipat sa kanyang lola. At an early age, itong si Broca already showed interest in film kasi mahilig daw siyang manood ng Hollywood movies kahit na paulit-ulit pa daw niyang panoorin yung mga to. Talagang sobrang saya niya at sobrang entertained siya. He also read poetry in front of his admiring family members. And at some point, na-award siya sa school na parang best orator at naging leader pa daw siya ng theater group ng kanyang probinsya.
Alright, so he majored in English literature in UP. Unfortunately, nawalan siya ng scholarship during his freshman year, forcing him to work as a clerk and assistant stage director. No? So when he left the university, he went to do missionary work for the Mormons in Hawaii by staging plays and shows for tourists. No? So he later enrolled for one semester in the Mormon Church College of Hawaii and worked as a laborer to pay his tuition. No? So with barely $50 in his pocket, no, so he moved to the mainland and worked as a busboy in San Francisco. Pero he later moved back to the Philippines due to homesickness and doon na ulit siya nagtrabaho, no? So
parang pelikula rin yung buhay niya, no? Marami siyang pinagdaanan and that speaks volume about his wisdom about life. Sa Pinas, he later joined Philippine Education Theater Association, o PETA, where he wrote scripts and led theater exercises until he became a director. At sa mga sumunod na taon, magiging mahalagang parte naman siya sa pagmulat ng kaisipan ng marami. Suriin natin yan sa ating pagbabalik.
Masagana ang buhay noong martial law years. Tahimik, malinis, madalang ang krimen, at maraming bagong tayong gusali. At least para sa mga Marcoses at kanilang mga supporters. Napakalayo nito sa marumi at mabahong squatter o siyudad na puno ng krimen at prostitusyon na palaging makikita sa mga pelikula ni Lino Broca.
Sa mga pelikula ni Lino Broca, ang siyudad or ang Maynila ay isang mapait at mapanganim na lugar, punong-puno ng kahirapan, ng korupsyon at exploitation, dulot na rin ng batas militar, ng diktadurya at ng militar, no? Ito yung tunay na lipunan sa panahon ng martial law. Take for example yung kanyang pelikulang Maynila sa mga kuko ng liwanag noong 1975, no? It tells the story of Julio Madiaga na ginampanan ni Bembol Rocco, na isang humble fisherman sa isang idyllic na probinsya, no? At iniwan siya ng kanyang love interest na si Ligaya Paraiso, no? Kasi si Ligaya ay napangakuan ng education at opportunity sa Maynila, no? So itong si Julio, he embarks on a journey from his provincial life to the sprawling metropolis of Manila. Tapos makikita natin sa film, parang naging dreary, naging medyo parang gray yung color ng film, no? Nung nasa Maynila na siya kumpara dun sa very colorful life niya sa province. But dahil dun sa kanyang unyielding quest to find Ligaya, ang kanyang nawawalang pag-ibig, no? He had to navigate the harshness of urban life. And itong si Julio, nag-transform siya into someone na kailangan na lang niya mag-survive, no? So ang dami niyang pinagdaanan. At ang dami niyang pinagdaanan sa Maynila na isang napakalupit na lugar.
Ang ganda nung description ni Broca kay Julio when he was asked why such a character symbolizes the Filipino people. Sabi ni Broca, "You can hit him, kick him, and he will smile back at you. He will smile and smile again. But if you take out all his hopes, watch out, he will kill you." Bigat, ano?
And perhaps reflection na rin yan kung paano nakikita ni Broca ang lipunang Pilipino. Lalo na sa panahon ng martial law kung saan napakalakas ng political repression. And the more the state attempts to reshape people's minds, meron pa ring sources of sanity, kumbaga, coming from these socially relevant films. Makikita rin kasi yung ganitong portrayal sa Manila sa mga pelikula gaya ng Insyang, 1976, at Hot Property, 1983.
Wait, napanood ko yung Insyang, no? So si Hilda Cornelian, diba? No? So ito yung first movie na ang setting ay sa Tondo. No? So which tells a lot how Broca wanted it to be realistic at, you know, as realistic as possible. Ito yung pinagsamantalahan siya ng kalaguyo, 'di ba, ng nanay niya, pero she turned things around, no? Para makapaghiganti, no? So gusto natin yung revenge movie yan, eh, no, winner.
Yes, at itong Insyang ang unang Filipino film na naipalabas sa prestigyosong Cannes Film Festival noong 1978. Striking itong film na to sa akin kasi it emphasizes yung cyclical nature ng poverty, which for Insyang and her family is something na hirap silang alpasan, no? Banggit din ni Broca na through this film na he admired, and I quote, "people who fight in order to survive with dignity in the most abject of conditions rather than show the merrymaking of public relations," end of quote. Kumbaga, lumaban ka ng patas, hindi gaya ng mga Marcos, no?
Grabe, no? Parang hindi uso ang happy ending sa mga obra ni Lino Broca. Pero what works is that while the viewers are drawn to the disturbing conclusions, the audiences are also brought to question their place in society. Talagang mapapaisip ka, since Broca was skilled in referencing actual events to engage the public, such as a strike at a small factory and a robbery hostage case as basis for Bayan Ko, Kapit sa Patalim na inilabas noong 1985, and even portraying influential personalities like Imelda Marcos sa Gumapang Kasalusak noong 1990 naman inilabas. Since madali for the public to connect Higit na madali yung makapag-inject ng socially relevant meanings to make them reflect on what happens in reality.
Nabanggit kanina na ang buhay ni Broca ay parang pelikula. And that is partly true kasi yung mga kwento, halimbawa ng tinimbang ka ngunit kulang in 1974, would symbolize Broca's childhood. Tahana Empoy in 1977 recalls his turbulent childhood as well. And Inay in 1977 was based on his own life. Ayon na rin sa mga artista na nakatrabaho niya.
Speaking of tinimbang ka, no, so alam niyo ba na madaming mga film critics yung nagko-consider dito na one of the most important films in Philippine cinema. So ang galing kasi ng pag-criticize dito sa nature ng Filipino society filled with hypocrisy and injustice, no? So the protagonists, no, played by Christopher De Leon, was disillusioned with such hypocrisy as he forms a bond with a lonely leper and a mentally unstable woman na si Kuala na nabanggit kanina, no? So ang galing ng film kasi it highlights the deep-rooted social inequalities within Filipino culture, no? So and it also highlights the stark divide between, you know, affluence and poverty, no? So it also brings to light, no, yung hardships endured by the marginalized na banggit nga ng iba, no, yung mahirap maging mahirap.
Sa gitna ng kasikatan ni Lino Broca, nakapag-organize pa rin siya kasama ng kanyang mga kaibigan ng isang independent production firm na Cine Manila. Nakilala ang Cine Manila sa pag-produce ng mga uniquely Pinoy films, pero pinapalabas rin sa international market, proving na kaya naman talagang bumuo ng quality films ng mga Pilipino. For Broca, it's also a way for many artists like him to produce films na malapit sa kanilang prinsipyo at yung talagang gusto nilang gawin. Kumbaga, ito yung kanilang artistic side, no, for their artistic expression. Hindi bound by kung ano yung gustong panoorin ng public, kumbaga. No? Unfortunately, nagsara itong Cine Manila dahil sa problemang financial. No? At interestingly, itong Cine Manila ang roots nitong Cine Manila International Film Festival na kilala natin sa kasalukuyan.
In 1983 naman, Broca formed the Concerned Artists of the Philippines, or CAP, a group that advocated artists to take a stand at issues confronting the country. At alam naman natin na malaking issue noon ay ang suppression coming from the Marcos government. Through CAP, higit na naging mas involved si Broca sa pag-organize ng mga demonstrations denouncing censorship and repression.
At dito na nga, naging mas involved si Broca. So after the Aquino assassination, he directed the movie Bayan Ko, Kapit sa Patalim, which received international attention na ipinalabas pa nga sa Cannes Film Festival noong 1984. The film was also awarded Best Film of the Year by the British Film Institute. The Marcos government did try to suppress the film screening in the Philippines. Fortunately, the Supreme Court favored the showing of the edited version and restricting it to adult viewership only.
So in 1985, he was arrested along with his fellow Ben Cervantes as they joined a nationwide strike organized by drivers. No? So 16 days silang nakulong. And after their release, they joined anti-Marcos Coalition for the Restoration of Democracy, o yung CORD. No? So in the same year, he received the Ramon Magsaysay Award for Journalism, Literature, and Creative Communication Arts. No? So at yung citation ay, for making cinema as a vital tool for social commentary and awakening public consciousness to disturbing realities of life among the Filipino poor. No? So yun yung quote about him.
At alam na natin kung anong mayayari by 1986, no? Matapos ang People Power Revolution, Broca served as member of the Constitutional Commission. In one of the proceedings, he walked out in protest to remind Filipinos that the legacy of the Marcoses actually continues. At Nagpatuloy rin siya sa paggawa ng mga pelikula gaya ng Gumapang Kasalusak noong 1990 at yung Ora Pro Nobis noong 1989. No? At napakagandang pelikula niya itong Ora Pro Nobis.
Agree. Ang hirap ng panoorin ng Ora Pro Nobis. Yung about sa vigilantes yan, di ba? At si Pete Lacabay yung nagsulat. At naban pa nga noong panahon ni President Corazon Aquino. Disturbing for me ay yung base siya sa true events, which shows that even after martial law, may mga paramilitary groups pa rin, gaya nung kay Commander Contra, that still existed and were used by the state to terrorize the countryside. Issue rin niya ng human rights eh, as the film pushed for a more nuanced view that even after martial law, parang normal pa rin ang patayan.
So, Broca died in a vehicular accident on May 22, 1991. His car crashed into an electric pole along East Avenue sa Quezon City. To honor his legacy, in 1997, Lino Broca was posthumously named National Artist for Film, cementing his legacy to the Philippine cinema and theater. Ilang awards rin ang ipinangalan sa kanya, showing his continued influence to young and upcoming filmmakers in the country.
In total, Lino Broca produced 66 quality films that, you know, makes people think, makes people analyze the ills of society. Marami pa siyang ibang mga pelikula na hindi pa natin nababanggit, gaya ng Inaka ng Anak Mo noong 1979, Bona noong 1980, Cain at Abel noong 1982, Maging Akin Ka Lamang noong 1987, at marami pang iba. Kung gusto niyo pala mapanood ng libre ang ilan sa mga pelikulang nababanggit natin, actually available sila online through archive.org. So i-check out niyo yan.
And that's it for this episode. Balikan pa natin ang ilang mga piling personalidad at grupo na impluensyal sa pagbuo ng kasalukuyang forma ng pamahalaan at lipunang Pilipino sa mga susunod na linggo. Thank you very much for joining us in this episode.
At patuloy ninyong suportahan ang podcast. Follow us in our social media pages, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Podcast TV, and share our episodes to your friends and family.
Next week, magbabalik tayo for another episode. For now, maraming salamat sa pakinig, and as always, have a good day.